starting a new message series today. Before we do that, though, I have a story for you. And I'm kind of actually glad Christy's not in here at the moment, because this is one that I think is still somewhat of a sore subject for her. But it really illustrates just how dumb I can be. This goes all the way back to when Garrett, our oldest, was being born. You know, somewhat of a tense moment. She had a lot going on. But she woke me up in the middle of the night, the wee hours, and something's happening. Okay, to the hospital we go. And 8, 9, 10 hours later, we're still just okay, is this going to start? You know, she was having very minor, it's easy for me to say, is this going to start? But I'll say, take foot out of mouth. Active labor had not yet started, but we'd been there a full day. I get bored, okay? Y'all know I have ADHD, right? So I've already been there for this long, and I got nothing to do. The Angry Birds wasn't even a thing on cell phones yet. And so I'm just sitting there, and then, pain really starts to become a reality for her. So other than holding the hand and reassuring and all that kind of stuff, I ain't got a lot going on, people. Christy makes a decision she's going to get an epidural. So they bring in this thing, and they do the stuff, and epidural's happening. Well, with the epidural came this little gadget sitting on the bedside table, that controls the dosage. In my defense, it had buttons and lights, and it made beeping sounds. I'm like, surely they've got this thing locked out. I can't do anything. I shut it off and lived to tell about it. Because all of a sudden she's realizing, I thought this thing was supposed to not have me feeling what I'm feeling. I'm feeling the feels that I don't want to feel. What's going on? And the nurse is like, how did this happen? This is off. And I'm slinking back into the shadows going, yeah, I don't know what you guys are doing. I thought you were the experts here, Now, almost 19 years later, we can both look back on that story and laugh a little bit. But it really illustrates the reality for all of us. Things are much different in the midst of a situation than they are when we look back upon them. Which, come on, and let's face it. If it were up to us to birth the babies, mankind would have died out a long time ago. Women are experts at this. Because you know what it feels like, and yet all the pain and everything that was brought about through that whole process eventually pales in comparison to the little bundle of joy. Whereas men, we're still, regaling each other with the misery of the hangnail of 1992. Because, of course, we have to build up that pain. It was the most miserable thing ever because I'm so tough and macho, when in actuality it was just the hangnail of 1992. So we would never have gone through childbirth more than once. But things are always better looking back than they are in the midst, which begs the question, how are we going to remember COVID? What are we going to choose to focus on? Because, come on, we're moving out of it now. And again, I don't feel like I can jinx things just by talking about it. So I think we're moving out of it. How are we going to look back on this? What are we going to remember? What are we going to highlight? And more importantly, what are we going to tell future generations about this? So the series that we're bringing, beginning today, centers on stories. And again, I've warned you all, this entire year, we're going to be focusing on stories, different types of stories. the series that we're beginning today focuses on the story specifically of the first followers, those 12 disciples. Their stories of what they lived through and what they encountered and what we learn from those first followers of Jesus, who, let's face it, before they were enshrined in stained glass with halos, they were just a random collection of stubborn, often selfish, usually pretty dense people. But Jesus chose them to be the ones who would tell his stories to future generations. You know, individually and collectively, I think we all have to realize that those first followers kind of help form the foundation of our faith today. Because we only know about Jesus and what he did because first they started telling people those stories and eventually wrote them down for all of us. But before we get into those stories, though, I do want to once again highlight the power of stories in our life. And it's something I've talked about a lot recently, specifically the power of your story and what Jesus has done in your life to bring hope and healing to somebody else. But today I want to take a little bit of a broader look at stories in general. Because stories are something that we've grown up with. All kids love stories. Bedtime stories, campfire stories, you know, stories acted out with Barbie playhouses or Legos and race cars and all kinds of stuff. When our boys were both little, they, especially Nolan. Nolan can tell a story, y'all. And he would act them out with his cars, you know, and all the adventures and the trains and the swords and slaying the dragons and all this kind of stuff. And he would regale us with these stories that he would make up and things that he was imagining possible in his mind. And then actually, I have another story that involves me being, well, pretty dense. If you know, when we lived in Colfax, if you've ever driven through Colfax on your way to Spokane, and you're driving up that hill, if you've noticed, on the hillside, they're laid out in white stones, there's a shape of a cross facing the highway. Where our house in Colfax was, it's not ours anymore, we could see that cross, but it was skewed because we were looking at it from a different angle. It looked like an X with a long tail. And I remember Garrett, and this was when I was in full engineer mode, Garrett came up to me one day telling me this story about how, you know, pirates sailed to Colfax through the wheat fields, I guess, and they buried treasure on that hill, and they marked treasure, you know, X marks the spot, right? Of course. So in full engineer brain mode, I'm like, well, son, you know, let's talk about perspective, and seriously, and he's looking at me just like, what are you talking about, dude? It's just pirate treasure, you know? But in his mind, that story was so important to him. And here I come overthinking it, which again illustrates us as, you know, grown folk. Because eventually, at some point, we've all traded those stories for bullet points because we're busy. We've traded in, you know, slaying the dragons for paying a mortgage. Well, sometimes it can kind of feel like the same thing, though. You know, insurance and taxes and all kinds of other things just take center stage, and all those, the enjoyment of stories fades into the background. Now, not for a moment am I saying that we all just reverse course and, you know, shirk all responsibilities and just live like Peter Pan. That wouldn't be responsible. Might be fun for a little while, but it would be irresponsible. But I think we all need to stop believing that stories are just for kids. We need to allow ourselves to re-experience the wonder of stories, the enjoyment of stories, and learning the lessons from stories. So today, we're going to look at Psalm 78.
at least the first part of it. Psalm chapter 78, which should be up on the YouVersion live event, if you got that up on your phones and tablets. Psalm 78, starting in verse 1, this is a psalm of Asaph. O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. So Asaph, said, this is a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was a guy who was a musician and a poet who was appointed by King David to basically be like the first worship leader. It was his job to lead the people corporately in worship of God. So worship leader is kind of a modern term that we would use to kind of understand who Asaph was back then. And he wrote several psalms, but in this one, he clearly has an agenda that's really not too far below the surface. Because right from the get-go, he's basically saying, listen, I'm going to tell you some stories from our past. We're going to focus on these, and we will learn from them. He's deliberately sharing these stories and points out that they've been handed down generation after generation after generation. And then he goes so far as to call them a treasure, like a pirate treasure on a hill in Colfax. A pirate treasure that we can learn from. And then he goes on in verses 4 through 6, saying, we won't hide these truths from our children. Well, how do you hide truth? By not sharing it. By keeping it to yourself. By not telling the stories, you're hiding the truth of those stories. So now, let's just take a little side trip to illustrate what I'm talking about here. Let's go back to COVID, because it's so fun. What if we all, and I'm not just saying all of us, all people everywhere. So yes, this is ridiculous because we can't agree on anything. But let's just say we all agreed to only tell future generations about the supply chain disruptions. What will that generation grow up thinking COVID was all about? Running out of toilet paper. I mean, yeah, that's a global issue, right? But if we don't tell them everything that COVID was all about, how will they know? They will grow up thinking it was just about a toilet paper shortage. And man, people got really worked up over this toilet paper shortage, and what the heck did masks have to do with toilet? Well, come to think of it, covering. Okay, I'm not going to go there. But no, if we don't share our experiences, they won't have a box to put that in mentally. They won't be able to understand our experiences unless we tell them. And if they can't understand, you know, the lessons that we have learned through our direct experiences, how can they learn unless they have to go through it themselves? So we rob future generations of the opportunities to learn and grow in wisdom if we don't share what we have learned. If we don't tell the stories. That's Asaph's whole point here. Future generations will have no understanding, really, okay, about things much more important than COVID. They won't have an understanding of who they are, where they came from, how they should live, unless we share that truth with them. And really, here's the super sneaky ninja part. As adults, we'll forget too. We will forget our own experiences unless we retell them.
Because I don't know if you've experienced this. I'm sure those of us with a few gray hairs have experienced this. You kind of forget what you had for breakfast, let alone what happened last week, last decade, unless those stories remain fresh. So we forget things about ourselves if we're not retelling those stories. And then these biblical stories, through the characters that we encounter, through all their traits and their characteristics, through all of their screw-ups and all of their triumphs, through all their wisdom and all their mistakes, we learn more about ourselves because we can see ourselves in their reactions. We can see ourselves in their stories. You know, I'm sure if you've read the Bible or even parts of it at least once, you've kind of started to pick up on you within certain people within the Bible. I got a lot of Peter in me. Act first, think maybe. And as I just shared this last night, I can be a little bit sarcastic sometimes. Read Paul's letters. Sarcasm is entirely biblical. So we start to see ourselves and learn more and more about ourselves as we engage with the stories of other people. Stories convey meaning, and they just kind of help us make sense of the world around us, help us make sense of ourselves. That's the hidden treasure that Asaph is referring to. Another agenda item that Asaph had is that stories build bridges between generations. So look again here at verses 5 through 6. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation might know them. Even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their children. There's four generations there, and by inference, many more. Their children and their children and their children and their children ongoing. From generation to generation, you know, in one swift move, Asaph connected our past, our present, our near future, and our distant future through stories, the commonality of stories. You know, we each have family stories that have been handed down. At least I really hope we do. And it's just a shame that far too often we wait until a funeral to tell these stories. That was my own experience. I learned more about my grandpa in 30 minutes at his funeral than I did in the 20-plus years that we shared this planet together. Now, and my grandpa was mostly deaf and blind through most of the time that I had with him, but you know who wasn't? My aunts and uncles, my dad. But I never learned these stories about my own grandpa. And admittedly, as you know, a teenager, self-obsessed, you know, stubborn and all that kind of stuff, I didn't really ask. But I didn't know. It wasn't until his funeral that I heard how he met my grandma on a train while he was going off from South Dakota to the Pacific Theater of World War II. Learned the story behind those three Purple Hearts that he had. How he was the first one in our family to be born in this country after my great-grandparents immigrated from Norway. I never knew that stuff. That's a tragedy. But more importantly, it's an avoidable tragedy. All it takes is for us to share our stories, our heritage, who we are, with our kids and our grandkids. Hopefully someday, great-grandkids. To keep the stories going. That commonality and the community that comes from sharing our stories. You know, there's also, in that community that's built around our stories, there's also the commonality that we see in our stories. Because it's not just family connections. There's also experiences. You know, I'm not related to anyone else in this room other than Nolan. But I guarantee you, we've all shared some same experiences. We've all walked the same paths at some points of our lives. And that builds connections, builds bridges. but I won't know and you won't know what we have in common unless we share our stories. We talk and figure out what we have in common, what we have collectively dealt with, you know, other than COVID. I know we've all dealt with that. But the more we share our stories, the more connections we build amongst each other, the stronger community we build. And speaking of those common connections, that's really the point that I've been talking about a lot, especially over the last couple weeks. You know, the story of what Jesus has done in me throughout my life. The highs and the lows. It's through sharing those stories that we bring hope to somebody else who's experiencing the same thing or similar circumstances. Because if Jesus did it for me, he can do it for you too. And that's the power of sharing our story specifically, or what, you know, in a churchy term, what we would call our testimony. You know, but sharing the story of what Jesus has done in me builds those connections, that community, the commonality of experience, and it brings hope. But now for the final item in Asaph's agenda. It's the last and I think probably the most important role of biblical stories in our lives. Let's go back to verse 7. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. To put this somewhat bluntly, and a big surprise, I usually sugarcoat things so much. Again, sarcasm, entirely biblical. To be very blunt, we can't discover what God desires for us or what he expects from us without stories. We can't do it. If you don't believe me or don't understand what I'm talking about there, try it. Tell me an expectation God has of you without using a single story. Okay, let's just cherry pick an easy one. God expects me not to kill anyone. How do we know that? Well, when he gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, oh wait, that's a story. Well, but then Jesus told us that if we even harbor hatred in our heart towards somebody else, that we're, oh, but that's a story. See where I'm going with this? Everything we know about what God desires for us and what he demands of our lives comes from this story. But here's the real point. God's design for you and I does not include hardwired morality. We have choice. You know, there's certain things within our bodies, within our lives, that are just biological, hardwired within us. Breathing, hunger, thirst, procreation, even, self-healing from disease and injury. You know, we have antibodies within our blood cells. I don't know, the science teacher will fix everything I'm screwing up here eventually. But it's all biological within, it's part of God's design for our human bodies to have these urges, these desires, and when, you know, bad juju gets into our blood, then our blood fixes it. Again, he'll fix everything I just screwed up there scientifically. Those things are hardwired into our biology, but you can't get to morals and ethics by looking at our biology. It can't be done. God didn't even hardwire morals and ethics into Adam and Eve. They had a choice. So do we. But we can't discover how to treat one another. We can't discover respect for ourselves or for anyone else, respect for God, without stories, without learning from the experiences of others and from learning from our own experiences. God chose to convey his nature and his character his expectations, his desires. He chose to convey those to us through stories. Now, each week in this series, I want to leave us with some practical stuff, some things that we can do throughout the week to put this into practice, you know, to grow in wisdom. Because wisdom defined is the proper application of knowledge and experience. Proper application of knowledge and experience. So wisdom is something that has to be walked out. Wisdom can't be garnered just from a book. Wisdom can't be garnered only through experience. It takes both knowledge and experience combined and applied properly. That's wisdom. And so in order for us to grow in wisdom, it requires that we ask a couple questions of ourselves to keep walking down this pathway of wisdom. And so for today, what I want us to do is first ask ourselves, how often do I engage with stories? And I'll just be the first to admit, for me, not often enough. Again, those of you who know me, I'm very, you know, action-oriented. Okay, less talky-talky, more worky-worky, you know? I don't sit and listen to stories enough. I'm the bullet point guy, much to my wife's distress at times. She's very story-driven. In fact, there are times, and she can tell, we've been together a long time. God bless her for it. But we've been together a long enough time where she realizes just through body language, like, okay, we'll circle back to this one. Here's what I need you to know. Goodbye. And I know that there are times from her body language I have to sit, yes, dear, listen, and just listen to the story. Though that I see some people nodding, married couples nodding. You all get it, right? It tends to be the men who are more often, give me the high points and let me go do something with it. Whereas the wives want to share the story. Husbands, get over it, sit down, and listen. Wives, continue being patient with us. But the challenge is, how often am I engaging with stories? Men, I'll just answer that for you. Not often enough. Re-engage with stories. Listen. Take some time to listen and engage. And not just, you know, the stories of, you know, what happened today. Let me bring you up to speed on the kids and everything else that happened in my day. Re-engage with stories from Scripture. Re-engage with stories within your family. Spend some time around the dinner table. Those of us who actually sit around a dinner table, and by the way, if you don't do that, do it. I understand that life is hectic. Maybe it can't be every night, but do it. And I just spoke to myself there. Thank you, Holy Spirit, I think. We have to re-engage with family stories to keep building those connections within our own family. And then stories amongst ourselves, building community and connection. And that leads to the second actionable thing that we can do this week is share your stories. Talk. Share. Find the commonality between you and somebody else, the shared experiences. And maybe it's because you need to get some hope from how they emerged from it. Maybe they need to get some hope from how you've emerged from it. Maybe it's because you both went skiing at the same place and had a fantastic day together, and you just learned how much you both love skiing and it has nothing to do with hope and hardship. But learn the commonalities and build connections with people through stories. Especially with kids. Don't keep the lessons, the truth of the stories. Don't hide it from them by not telling them. Don't keep it a secret. Don't let it be.
know, maybe depending on the story, you might have to do some age-appropriate editing, something like that. But do it. Share the stories. Because remember, they can't remember what they never knew. And how are they going to know unless we share the stories with them? I want to leave us today, bring this to a close with some words from Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. Right on the heels of Jesus telling a lot of stories and a lot of parables, Matthew says this. Jesus, and this is in Matthew 13, starting in verse 34. Jesus always used stories and illustrations like these when speaking to the crowds. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. This fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet. I will speak to you in parables. I will explain things hidden since the creation of the world. If that last part sounds familiar, good. You were paying attention earlier. That's from Psalm 78. So Matthew just built a bridge across generations, didn't he? Highlighting the importance of stories. Now, and I don't know if he was just speaking in hyperbole or that Jesus literally never used anything other than a story. I think what he's highlighting is that Jesus knew the power. Jesus knows the power of stories. And frequently, consistently employed stories and parables to bring about truth, to illustrate truth, to teach truth. And I think that's an expectation we can reasonably assume he has placed on us as well, as his followers. Maybe not the first ones, but certainly his followers, to do what he did, to tell stories, to share our stories with others so that they will know the truth of God, the truth of how God works in his people to bring hope, healing, salvation to everybody. And so God, thank you. Thank you again. God, for you. For truth. For faithfulness. For morals. God, thank you for teaching each one of us how to follow you. Thank you for all the stories, not just the stories from your word, God, but the stories within our families, within our community. And Holy Spirit, I just trust that you are going to take all of the stories that we have individually and collectively, that you will bring them to our minds and put them on our hearts at just the right moment when they need to be shared with just the right person. For whatever purpose you have in store for that story at that time. Holy Spirit, we surrender those stories to you. We trust you. We know that you will leverage all of these stories. Not just for us, but for so that we can all bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. Because all of our stories, no matter what the details may be, all of our stories lead to him. And so let us continue to lift his name higher as we continue to surrender all that we are to you. Be glorified, be honored, and continue all the good things that you have started within us. In Jesus' name.